Hello, we are here on location, Coastside Edition with Sophia Lane. Today is Wednesday, July 30th, 2025, and I have the honor and the pleasure of being here at Miramar Farms with Jane Batty, the owner. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Sophia. Great to have some time to visit with you.
Great to see you. It's always so fun and exploring what you're doing these days. I've had the pleasure of knowing you for a number of years. I was here at least once, if not two or three times, as part of groups coming to Miramar Farms, which is always wonderful. An experience at farm to table, social emotional learning that you do here also well. I'd love to hear a little bit from you about like who you are, how you got here, as we share with our Coastside audience.
Great, wonderful.
And beyond.
Wonderful. And I feel like, Sophia, you and I have like been passing each other doing various community work for a decade at least.
Yes.
And not always having time to get to know each
yes.
other. So it's nice
it's
to
really nice.
Have a chance to connect. I think Miramar Farms, I think locally is a little bit of a mystery. Like, what are they doing over there? And there's no deep, dark secret. We've owned this property for over 30 years. And we purchased it really originally just to raise our children. It's 11 acres. It was wildly overgrown with several buildings that were near total collapse. And we just wanted a beautiful rural place to raise our kids. We got a huge reconstruction project along with the plan. And once our kids were grown and out of the house, we were thinking about what's the next chapter for us as my husband Mark and I, what's the next chapter for us professionally, and what's the world need from this beautiful piece of property. Mm-hmm. And what we decided is what the world needed is a place for refuge. And
yeah.
so, you know, even 12 years ago, we knew it was really hard to be a leader
yeah.
and to develop a good team to be able to go out and do important things in the world. And so, it's gotten way more complicated.
Yes, it has.
Way more complicated,
way more complicated
in the last decade.
Yeah.
But we really, that's who we serve. We serve a community of both community leaders, so running nonprofits and mm-hmm. running foundations, and then the corporate leaders from all the big tech companies and biotech companies come here, usually in groups of about 15 to 25 is sort of our sweet spot, but we do have some bigger groups
mm-hmm.
and also some really small executive teams. They come here for a day of work. They're really doing very deep strategic work. Sometimes
yeah.
it's very super secret, sort of new technologies emerging,
yeah.
which
oh,
is
how
pretty
exciting.
Cool.
How exciting.
But it's also about grounding and connecting and getting to know each other as a team.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of work to help people come together and be able to think big thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, especially I think around tech, a lot of people think, or corporate life, a lot of people think it's so cold and devoid of human connection and human elements, where I think, it's amazing and awesome that you recognized how important that human connection is to doing good in terms of innovation, technology or otherwise,
yeah.
Or social, what the nonprofits do, and that how much it helps to have like a comfortable, natural and nature inspired environment like this to do it. So
yeah.
To have a little kind of farm element here where we're in your kitchen now, which
yes.
smells, I have to say, I wish I could get this smell across on an audio, but I can't. Jane made these zucchini muffins and they're so good. And the whole house smells like zucchini muffins right now. We're waiting for the next batch to come out for her event tomorrow. And they just smell so good and they taste so good. And it's just like, I think that olfactory sense, the visual sense, the auditory sense that gets, all get stimulated in different ways here is part of the magic to bring people together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it's, all these folks that are running these big companies, and we have quite a big global presence here. People
yeah.
come from all over the world to come together here. And, they're all just people.
Yes.
They're all just people who are tired and anxious and dealing with enormous amounts of change and stress and the speed of technology. And when they come to the farm, it's really about just like, let your guard down.
Yeah.
Just show up as a person who wants to do good things in the world.
Yeah.
And we surround you with, you know, nature as such a healing element.
Yes.
So that alone, as soon as people walk on the property, there's usually a sense of comfort and release and a warm drink. And yes, we do almost all our own baking. We have a cottage food operating license.
Yeah.
So we do almost all the baking, and it's really sort of part of our process, this idea of someone is caring for you.
Yes.
know, that it is
a very human basic.
Yeah,
way,
very
right?
basic. But the bread is beeping at me.
Oh, so yeah, beep beep.
We'll take a look.
Let's see how this looks.
If it's ready.
Oh, that looks beautiful.
But not quite done.
Not quite. A little too jiggly, huh? Not
quite. Too.
You don't even, I love you're so pro, you don't even need to do the wooden toothpick test. You can just look at it and you know it's not ready.
Yes.
Needs a little bit more.
Yes, and a pro baking tip. You really want to get to what we call the oh shit moment.
What's that? Would you describe the technical terms?
That means like, oh my goodness, I might burn it.
Yes, yes.
But then I know it's definitely done.
It's definitely done. You don't want it too early. You don't want it too late.
You want anything. You want a good crumb.
You want a good crumb.
Nothing falling apart. But the food here and putting people in nature it's a big part of the formula, and it's such a unique sort of thing to, you know, this is not the Marriott conference room.
No,
It does require people to be a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because it opens you up more than you might even expect.
Yes, it's so true. Yeah. It's so true. Do you find things have been any different, like recently with kind of the world situation changing a little bit?
Yeah,
in some ways?
It's been an interesting year, and I think for myself and many other small business owners around the region, trying to figure out what's happening in the corporate world. You know, nonprofits and foundations are under enormous stress and strain with really significant financial shifts, as are companies. Mm-hmm. But those core things around what people need is time to think, space to really connect with each other. That remains the same. But I would say sort of the intensity of things and the speed of change is really, it's pretty exhausting for people.
Yeah.
And so I think more than ever, we're seeing even a deeper need to really like get away and dig down in into what is happening in the world and how companies are going to react to it.
Yeah.
So some really truly deep thinking going on.
Yeah.
Some very, we call it when we have groups in the barn that we hear nothing from them, like they don't ask for a single thing.
Yeah.
They are heads down.
Yes.
They are really,
it's
every whiteboard is written on.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. Hopefully
they're
making good progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just think people are, the stress levels are very high.
Are very
days.
High. Yeah. I think that's consistent with what I've seen too. And I mean, it makes sense just in terms of the daily onslaught of media reports and coverage and how it kind of feels like a tsunami is coming in many ways. So I think it's really great and healthy that organizations are taking the time to get together and hunker down and reform their teams or re-energize their teams, reconnect their teams.
You know, the other thing I will mention is that the whole remote workforce, which continues, a lot of companies are back, but they're back part-time or maybe they have to be in a couple days a week. That human connection is really, it's actually in some ways a little comical that people have forgotten how to be physically together.
In the same room.
So there's an awkwardness as we see people come on site and say, oh, you're taller than I thought, or shorter than I thought, or whatever.
It's funny.
And so there's a little bit of humor in that. And we do ask people to like have some humor in it.
Yeah.
That's okay. But that that remoteness is definitely affecting team behavior.
Yeah.
Folks are doing the best they can, and they're, you know, really trying to dig in. But I can tell a lot of people are missing the in-person contact.
Yeah, it makes sense. That there's like pros and cons of like the convenience of having virtual teams that don't have to be co-located in the same place, especially when you're talking about companies in like a very high cost of living area, which the Bay Area obviously is, but to be able to still have that connection to... What a gift to be able to get together in person once in a while and see each other.
I will say also, though, that the clients that we've seen, particularly this year, it's been true in the past, but particularly this year, just amazing technology breakthroughs coming in, you know, everything from drone deliveries to, you know, biotech, major advances in medicine and robotics. And so, you know, in some ways that gives us a lot of hope and optimism about what's, it's a little scary. I know AI is huge. You know, all of that, but it, it can be either frightening or it can be hopeful. And I'm going to go on the side of hopeful and optimistic that it's going to help answer her. Okay, let's we gotta check the bread. One more time.
Let's check the bread. Because are we at oh shit yet?
No,
not quite. We're still sorry. We're still hanging out.
We're gonna go see the barn, but we're not there.
Yes.
Yet.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. Definitely want to see. Love to see the barn. But we don't want to get past the oh shit moment. You need bread either coming back here, and it's like a giant hockey puck. So like kind of as a preview before we go out there, what is going on out there? Like, what do you have? You said how many acres?
So we have 11 acres on the farm. And when we first started, you know, there's the main house where we still live and then a barn, which is our main meeting facility. And then we have small little platforms throughout the property where people can do breakout groups and nice patios. And a big garden, and we have one thing I'm super proud of is we have, I think, 28 apple trees on the property now. All planted since 2013. Yeah. Last year, we produced 1,000 pounds of apples.
That's a lot of apples.
That's a lot of apples.
Yes.
We use them with our clients. Yes. We make cider. We make apple everything.
Yeah.
But then we donate to Abundant Grace and to the Boys and Girls Club. So we are really big about no food goes to waste.
Yes.
I just delivered to Abundant Grace yesterday some food that we had.
Are they kicking in already now, the apples?
Like, they are, or are just about.
The just about ready. Yeah, ready, almost ready to harvest.
Yep.
Well, maybe we could check those out.
We'll send you
home
with some today. Yes.
Well, I mean, that'd be a bonus.
Everybody goes home.
I have a lemon tree that's pretty productive. That's often the way. And kale right now. I was mentioning the kale in my garden back there. And it's like, I found 1,000 ways to cook with kale, but all my friends get... I should have brought you some. I will come back.
No. We have our own kale.
Have your own.
And zucchini. Which is why we're making lots of zucchini bread. Muffins and bread.
And eggs. I see these beautiful eggs here. As you know, last week I spoke with Erin Torme, who has her poultry farm, Femme Fatale's, on... up on Irish Ridge, and so we got a nice little briefing on next last week.
And you know, speaking of Erin, she was part of helping us get started. So I started to say, none of the farming had been here since the 1960s.
Yes.
And so we had to rebuild everything. And Erin was one of the people that both inspired us and helped us. Erin and also our neighbor Louis Fagoni both inspired us. Laughed at us as we made every mistake possible.
As
a new farmer, that's what happens.
It's a learning process.
It's required.
Yeah.
And then helped us, you know, helped us figure it out. So Erin helped me figure out which chickens and which breeds and type and how many and all of that. So we today have 13 chickens.
Oh, very
cool. I think one of my favorite things, and it's one of the things we talk to people about when they come here, is we usually go down and meet the chickens and collect some eggs, and the diversity of like what real fresh eggs are is a huge diversity of colors and shapes and sizes and just how beautiful that is. And so there's a lot for organizational life to learn about from nature and from a farm.
Yes.
And so we often will, you know, touch on some of those points as we take people around.
Yeah, for sure. Erin and I chatted about that a lot last week too, in terms of how it is like just a farm, especially when you have an integrated agriculture approach in your farm where the chickens produce compost, basically.
Yes.
You use the compost and you grow the food that the chickens then eat. It's kind of like a full cycle thing. And how much that is also a metaphor for even how you describe people working together within a community. And I think that's something definitely very special we have here on the coastside, but it's just a model for when you work together, like how much more there is, right?
Yeah.
Like there's not this sense of competition, but it's more working together to have just a better thing overall for everybody, and how wonderful it is to be part of that. And just like for your one's soul, right? Yeah. Like the gratification to one's soul to feel like you're part of something bigger.
Okay, one more try.
Yeah. Let's see how it looks. Just
being a little stubborn. Okay, we're good.
All right, we're good.
Yeah.
Oh shit, we're good.
We're good.
It looks beautiful.
Just the right color, just the right feel.
Yeah.
And we're done.
We're done. All right.
One thing, let's go on out to the barn. One thing we often, I mean, it's very much part of our model, is we hope that when people come here, while we don't lecture them on things, we hope they learn from our example.
Yes.
So, we're going to go out that way.
I'll follow you.
We hope they see how we deal with food and waste and, you know, take care of the property, that take something away from that. We, over the last couple of years, have really doubled down on our waste management program, and we now put less than 2% of all the waste at the farm goes into the trash.
That's amazing.
So 98% goes to compost.
That's amazing. So you're also probably pretty careful about what materials you use, so you don't use a lot of plastic that you can't really.
None.
Ah. Yeah.
So now we're in the. So this is where we put out breakfast and lunch for folks typically.
And so, what do you call this building?
This is the barn.
This is the barn kitchen. Ah.
It's not really a kitchen. It's just a serving kitchen. But it's just a side room here where we can put out all the food. And so the flowers are fresh from the garden. All the materials are either reusable or compostable. And that is not, it's not an easy thing for a business to do. It took some work. And we still are trying to figure out how to get rid of those plastic salad dressing cups.
Those are tough.
Those are trash.
I'm going to see if I could do something fancy with my phone here. So I recorded my phone. Let me see if I can keep recording and take a picture of these flowers that you have here on your area. These beautiful, are these
dahlias?
Yeah. I mix up dahlias and zinnias for some reason.
Yes.
They're kind of similar, right? Similar. Yeah.
And then the room here, this is
where
the barn now.
And yes, I've been in this room before for meetings. Yes,
and it's
so wonderful.
For a group tomorrow, and tomorrow is a group of educators. We just yesterday sent off a private company that was here for 2 days, and then this is a group of educators that will be here for the next 2 days.
Fantastic.
And really, in all cases, everyone is doing planning.
Yep.
You know, what's their strategy? How are they moving forward? And they're doing connective fun. They're trying to build the fiber of their organization.
Yeah.
And so the fire will be burning in the morning. We've got it all set up for them. And I thought you might be interested in our farmhouse room.
Yes. Yes.
This is when people come to the farm, we often always do a little intro for them, and we often do a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the reminders we have that, you know, we want them to breathe.
Yes.
Like, breathe deeply. Not just that shallow breathing we all do to stay alive.
the actual, they call that the tidal volume in your lungs. Like, that bit that doesn't usually get exchanged very often. But, like, that is the deep breath when you exchange all the air in your lungs. Not just, like you said, the part you need to, like, stay alive.
Right.
Yeah.
So we often remind them of that. It usually gets a chuckle and also recognition because we're mostly holding our breath.
Yeah.
We encourage them to get outside, to go slow. We're often rushing. It's a farm, so we remind them to close the gates that need to be closed.
Yes.
So
it is literally the barn door.
Operating here. And then the other, I think the first one and the last one of using all five senses, like people will often say, what am I smelling?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're smelling everything. You're smelling the lavender, the rose geranium, the chives, the eucalyptus. Like, there's just so, I don't know, as co-siders, that we often recognize what beautiful air and fragrance surrounded by.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And so we try to remind them there. And we have for heritage sakes. So these are our three kids, Allison, CJ, and Scott, that were raised here.
Aww.
And when we first bought the property, that's them living here and growing up here. And, you know, when we started the farm, Mark and I had both been in corporate-y sort of jobs for a while. And when we said we were going to do this with what was essentially the kids' home, mm-hmm. this barn has been here since the 40s. We just sort of stood it up right wow. again. When we told the kids, they started using a closeout hashtag on things that said that it was all together. Said my parents have gone crazy.
And I think that's like every parent's rite of passage. Yeah, like at some point, your kid makes a public pronouncement. Yes. Yeah, if yes. they're lucky enough, I agree with you.
Yeah. Anyway, so they don't think we're crazy. It's actually really a labor of love. We have our main garden down in the front of the property. It's all this beautiful coastal bench soil, which is all, prime soil. And so it makes it a little easier on us to be able to grow beautiful food.
Yes, yes.
We do have a manager for the farm, Lauren Rossman, who's local, has been managing the property for a couple of years now. And she's just done a beautiful job for us. But when we started this concept of Miramar Farms, having a garden and getting people into that environment and talking about how things grow was definitely very much part of our plan and our philosophy.
Yeah, kind of that hands-on aspect of like where food comes from, right? Because I feel it seems like so many people go to the store and buy their food and don't really give that much thought about how did it get there.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, people come here and they're just astounded that carrots grow underground or, zucchini grows above ground.
Yeah. And it comes from flowers. Look at that.
Yes, right? And so sometimes it can be pretty basic. Yeah.
And I have to say something I've always been amazed by you, Jane, is that you're so amazing and so adept at the farm stuff and the leadership stuff. Also, I guess related to the leadership stuff is how you can relate to a group that comes in with a super high tech idea and project and concept and their own organizational politics and, from a corporate sense and their, what they have to deal with from a business perspective. And of course, you're a small business owner yourself, too. So how did you get so good at both both of those things? Because they're somewhat different. Somewhat related, but
I mean, I guess, one thing I'd say, Mark and I are both lifelong learners. Yeah. So just diving into something and willing to be bad at it for a while before you figure out how to do it better is great fun to do. So with the baking and the garden and the farm and the chickens, like all of that, apple trees, all new, but great to learn, and having people like Aaron and Louie and just John Muller, just incredibly supportive community to both support and make fun of you and help you pick yourself up again in a good way has been really wonderful. But I think also with the corporate clients that come here, I have 25, 30 years of corporate experience behind me.
You have good street cred.
So I had my own company.
Farm cred, street cred.
Then worked for PG&E for a while, managing their environmental and land program. And so, the organizational life realities are something I've lived through.
Yes, you can relate and you can understand, and it does help to have that experience. And you were or still are on the water board. Right?
I've always tried to have a healthy mix of both, business work to do and have community service. I mentioned to you, Sophia, that my dad just passed away at almost 4 days short of his 100th birthday.
Aww.
So sad, but an amazing life and really a life of service. He was in the fire department, started an ambulance organization in a very rural community, and just was always helping in whatever way he could. And for me, that started early with, I think this is where you and I kept running into each other, was around education.
Yeah.
All three of our kids went to the public schools here.
Yeah.
So the passing the ballot measure to get the parcel tax was, that was
huge.
A big lift and a very exciting time to get that done. And then I've served on Silicon Valley Community Foundation Board and most recently the Regional Water Quality Control Board for the state of California for the Bay Area region. And that one is particularly fun and interesting because John Mueller was in that role for over 20 years.
Right. Many people might know John Mueller as Farmer John.
Farmer John.
Farmer John.
Yes.
former Pumpkin King of, yes. of the Kosai, but also in of his himself, such an accomplished leader, yes. and farm, not only in the farm space, but a lot of the work that he's done locally and across the country,
and
too.
Dearly loved at, yes. the water board, and big shoes to fill. But, yeah. you know, he basically said to me one day, I'm going to be leaving and they need a new person. And would you think about it? And it's a governor appointment. So yeah. I had to be, wow. you know, and I'm going through reappointment right now. So
oh, wow.
it's the governor's office confirms, yeah. and then the Senate has to accept. And so we're going through that process right now. Yeah. But it's been a real pleasure to serve on that board. And, you know, we're really looking at the whole Bay Area region in terms yeah. of water quality, impacts of climate change. Mm-hmm. I actually took a recent visit down to Pescadero to learn mm-hmm. about some of their water challenges.
Oh, interesting. We know about the water challenges down there.
Ones, yes.
Yeah. Water quality challenges. Especially.
And so I think that, you know, I'm on another board, American Leadership Forum, which is all about leadership development, yeah. not surprising. But I think for people on the coast side, and for me, it's been helpful to go out and come back and yes. to be able to bring some, you know, broader perspective yes. and knowledge, and then bring it back locally to yep. help support all the challenges that we face as a mm-hmm. community, while also looking at the whole region.
Yeah. You
know, that's really important.
It reminds me of that saying, the think global, act local.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like think about the big picture. And I know that was a lot of the educational advocacy work I was doing in Sacramento, was like, it informs what you do locally when you yes. understand how things, what you're doing locally fits into the bigger picture, and you can learn from others, right? And try different things and kind of challenge your ways of thinking sometimes when you see how other people are trying to do things, and even sometimes feeling like you have other people that have the same goal and mission of you. Like, if it's as simple as like people get to turn on their taps and yes. it's, the water is clean, that it's not magic. That doesn't just happen through magic. It's through a lot of hard work.
A lot of hard work and yeah. planning, and expensive.
Yes.
And, you know, really, it really takes some advanced planning. And so, you know, all of it is circular as we think
yeah.
about, you know, the clients that come here that are doing strong, you know, deep strategic thinking about their future, and all the organizations I volunteer with or whatever are having to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I guess the only other thing I would say on that whole topic is yeah. that also who you vote for matters. You know, I'm just going to say.
You don't say, right?
I'm not touching yeah. the federal government, but I'm
yeah,
just
yeah.
saying even locally, regionally, yep. statewide, that, you know, it decisions are made
yeah.
based on who's in charge. And
yep.
so it really is important to be informed and
yes.
be thoughtful about your choices.
Yep.
And all of that, you know, I talk about getting, I have to get confirmed by the governor's office and the Senate. Well, these are all people that we
yeah.
elect.
Yes, exactly.
And
they
so,
do a lot of important things that people don't realize, right? Because
right.
they influence who's on the water board, for example, which probably, I think I had heard you mention that before, but it's not even first and foremost in my mind. It's
right.
being a pretty involved.
Exactly. And so
person.
Many boards and commissions,
yes.
you know, they have
yes.
trouble even filling all the seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's opportunities.
There's opportunities. Everyone heard that? There's opportunities. That's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
So if people want to get more involved with anything that's meaningful to you, I guess, be it the local farms or water quality related things or leadership or service, like, I think it's a time right now where people feel maybe a little frustrated, a little overwhelmed by
yeah.
a lot of what's happening in the world, and looking for, like, what can I do that actually is going to make a difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are maybe some words of advice you have for folks?
Yeah,
around
I mean,
that?
I guess, you know, I guess what I would say is, put yourself out there. Like, you know, we have it all at our fingertips. We're
yeah.
so, we have such abundance, so much available to us, but we do have to put ourselves out there.
Yeah.
And so to look at the county website, they
yeah.
always have spots that need to be filled.
Yeah.
Thrive San Mateo County mm-hmm. holds a regular, here's the boards that need professionals. So
that's true.
Thrive San Mateo that's County true. Is a great that's organization true. To take a look at.
Yeah.
I often provide just coaching and, you know, advice yeah. to people. So jane@miramarfarms.com.
You easy can peasy. Find me. Easy peasy.
And I'm happy to help point you in the right direction or just listen and give you some ideas.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of need in the world.
Yeah.
From everything local to more countywide yeah. or regionally.
Yeah.
And if you want to get engaged on any topic, mm-hmm. there's a place for you.
Yeah. No, I like how you just put it so simply, like put yourself out there, because I get that question a lot too. And I find it's difficult to have, like, there's not one formula because everybody's coming from such a different place where yeah. I have a friend that is in construction. The other day she told me how her boss was noticing that some of their workers were afraid to show up to their office in the morning because they're concerned about being
immigration rights.
Having their immigration status questioned or being disappeared or whatever. And so they came up with a different way to kind of work around that. And it's like, that's great. That's helpful. Yeah. And that's like probably something I couldn't do because I don't own a construction company and not in a position to help in that way. But everybody in their own way has something that they can do. So just kind of like thinking about what one can do. And like you said, putting yourself out there.
Yep. And so many amazing, just in Half Moon Bay, the social service organizations.
Yes.
With Alas and Abundant Grace and Boys and Girls Club. And it's a big list.
So like, many. Coastside Hope, Went Day Down the
so
Coast.
Many.
So many.
Yeah. So I was in town the other day and noticed a long line of people waiting for food.
Yes.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And so clearly
it's
the need
a real
is
thing.
There.
Yeah, it
clearly
is.
Clearly the need is there.
Well, thank you so much
You're
for putting
welcome.
Yourself out there every day, doing the amazing work that you do, taking a little bit of a break from all that to speak with me today. It's always amazing to visit, amazing to talk with you and learn more. I feel I learn and grow every time I see you and talk with
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Sophia.
And hope to see you again soon.
All right, great. Thanks right. again.
Take care. Bye-bye. And On Location Coastside Edition with Sophia Lane is produced by Bright Now Media. Stay tuned for our next episode coming soon, and thanks for listening.